Not only has James Gall battled cancer, but the disease also took the life of his beloved wife. I'm Marty Pieper, and after this short break, we'll hear James' story on the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News.
This episode is brought to you by the ebook Revelatory Combat by Ryan LaStrange. Revelatory Combat is a concise look into the prophetic ministry and the partnership between prophets and apostles. It provides clarity for the battle facing the church in this hour. Ryan LaStrange and Charisma Magazine are proud to offer you a year-long subscription of Charisma Magazine, as well as a download of Revelatory Combat for only $20. If you'd like to take part in this offer, be sure to visit combat.charismamag.com or call 1-800-749-6500 and mention the word combat.
The word cancer has multiple meanings for minister, author, and speaker James Gall. We are thrilled to have him as our guest to share his story of the great things God has done. Welcome, James.
Hey, great to be with you. And yes, I have referred to this as the battle with the big C and the little C. And sometimes we fear C as the big C being cancer, but I'm here to say the big C is Christ.
Oh, I love that. Now, as you alluded to, you've had, I guess we would call it an extended journey with cancer. Would you tell us about how that started?
Yes, I went through 9 years of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma cancer in 3 different times. And so it began small, unexpected, just by a nodule that I found. Mm-hmm. And then was quickly rushed into all kinds of tests that I was not expecting or prepared for, like a bone marrow, exam. Ooh. Where they're drilling in and finding out to what degree that it had already advanced and things of that nature. And so I went through 3 different, totally different kinds of therapies, and I have gone through all kinds of actual detoxing from the therapies as well. And so I have a lot of history under my belt.
I guess you do. That's not the kind of experience anyone wishes for, is it?
Not, but I have a core value that believes that all things work together for good.
Yes,
for those
sir.
Who love God and been called to his service. So I'm not saying that everything that happens in life is good or that even God causes everything. But I do believe that when we bring everything, even the difficult things, to him, he will melt, mess, and work it together for our good.
I love that explanation. You hear a lot of people kind of spout off that verse, but you're adding the deeper meaning that the Lord intends. Thank you so much. Now, I know that you had, I guess we would call it an incredible encounter where God healed you, correct?
Yes. Now, it's been a combination of medical and prayer and supernatural. So after I had a very intense treatment at the Cancer Treatment Center of America that you could only have done once in your entire lifetime. At that time, it was the last thing that was even available to me. But my white blood count lowered very, very dangerously low. And I'm now wearing a white mask, but I had heard that Oral Roberts was hosting a leaders gathering once a month in his home in Orange County. So I got one of those invitations. I wasn't even supposed to be getting on a plane, but I felt that if I went there, that I could be the last person that possibly that he would pray for that would get healed of cancer. And so I got on a plane in the month of September, flew out there. My oldest son joined me. Bill Johnson was actually in that particular meeting as well. My wife has been gone now for 10 and a half years. It exploded the third time a year after she was gone.
Okay.
And so so it's somewhere around 9, maybe 8 years ago. And so I go there. He would allow him to pray for us if we wanted. He didn't know anything. He laid his hands on me and he proclaimed, he said, I command every cancer cell in your body to depart and to never come back again. And it was like that was the last thing. And I knew that I knew that I knew from a man of faith who had a track record, I knew that it was gone and would never return. And I will tell you that it has never returned. And I have been free from all forms of cancer from that point on.
That is amazing. Now, as you mentioned, I want to give some time to this. You aren't just a cancer patient. You are also a caregiver for your wife.
Yeah, very true.
So can you tell? And I love how tenderly you still write because we publish your articles. Yeah. You still write so tenderly about her, and I'm a wife. I appreciate that. Would you tell us a little bit about her journey?
Yeah, thank you.
Sure.
Everybody who knew Michael Ann, I mean, I don't mean this bad or weird, but everybody loved her more than they did me, just because. I'm a little intense at times, and she was incredibly genuine, always smiled. She was the Betty Crocker homemaker of the world and had her priorities always right. But more than that, although she was an anointed woman of God and a lioness in the kingdom, but she got hit real hard, and it was detected later than what my situation was. Mm-hmm. And she ended up with 7 bleeding polyps in her colon, and we didn't know what was going on. So she immediately had her colon removed with an ostomy bag.
Okay.
Thought possibly the cancer had been caught, but it wasn't. And it had already gone to other parts of her body. That resulted in a very, very, very intense 4-year period for me and our 4 kids. So our 4 kids went through having both parents going through cancer at the same time.
That is a big subject.
That's a big subject to talk about. And so she did everything. She absolutely did everything, naturopathic, natural. We had prayer around the world. And so there's mysteries. I'm just going to flat out tell everybody out there, hi, I can give you some steps on how to do things rightly. Mm-hmm. And I can also tell you there are some mysteries that's in all of this that to this day I don't understand. And you know what? One of the keys that maybe that I have, well, by the way, she did pass on to glory. And I hear reports that she's doing quite well today. So she's healed.
She's doing better than all of us at this point.
She's doing better than I am. Yeah, than all of us. You're right. And so I am here remaining with her blessings. Mm-hmm. And I know that she's in the great cloud of witnesses. It's been a very difficult journey for myself and for my 4 kids, of which now have all ended up becoming all married well, all walking with the Lord. And that's a miracle, because having 4 kids with then a single dad, and then they all today are not mad at God and not mad at the church, and all still praying and prophesying and moving in the things of the Lord, that is a miracle. So, you know, one of the things that I would really want to encourage people in is that your family does not have to become all torn apart through the trials that you go through. You can come out on the other side even in one way better. And one of the things I had to learn to do was worship God with my questions.
Oh, I love that. And I imagine that freed your kids as well to ask
we each have our own personal responsibilities and walks. So I can say that's what I learned to do. But we would need to do interviews with them to find out how they responded. But let me say, we learned to love and fight together. And so part of my victorious outcome is we have a fractured family who loves God without missing a beat. And I can tell you that we will always miss Michael Ann, but that Jesus is good. He goes about doing good, and in the mystery and the majesty of God, all things work together for good.
There's a reason I said at the beginning that you have an amazing testimony. Thank you so much. Now, you mentioned about people praying. As far as I understand, you have a worldwide following. Tell me how, I'm sure that people were praying for you and for your wife. Can you tell us a little bit about how that played into both of your journey?
Yes, absolutely, for both of us. We actually had a prayer shield that went real specific, and they started praying over literally over different organs of our body, and would speak life over organs that were being impacted and by the ravaging disease. I will, you know, and your followers know that cancer can be devastating, but I want people to know this. We sometimes overly promote it as the big C. I am here to say it is the little C, and everything that has a name is subject to bow its knee at the name of the big C, Christ Jesus. So I want all the listeners, in spite of the difficulty, to know that sometimes, again, what I stated in the beginning, is that we elevate cancer as the big C instead of the little C. And I want everybody to know, through the trials, through the storms, through the winds and the waves, and even the difficulties of life, I want everybody to know this. Jesus Christ is the big C. Cancer is the little C. And everything that has a name has to bow its knee. So whether it's now or later, cancer has to bow its knee at the name of Christ Jesus.
Amen. That is definitely something to hang on to. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Now, what about in a practical way? You mentioned your wife, and I do think the spiritual is practical. I'm not at all saying it's not. But in terms of you've faced recurrence of cancer. What kind of changes in the natural have you made to help prevent that?
Well, this is such a huge subject because, you see, the first thing, what people need to investigate is their body chemistry. So my chemistry was extremely acidic, and so cancer can't live in an alkaline system. So one of the first things, we shifted our body chemistry to being more alkaline by removing sugar, white flour, things of that nature, and then going to a healthier, nutrition. We also did a lot of naturopathic. So we took a totally integrated approach, believing in the joining of the two hands. Luke, the gospel, was a physician. I believe in both natural and spiritual being brought together under prayer, and praying before you go have any appointments, praying for those procedures, bringing it to God, asking His guidance. And so I believe in, frankly, have very integrated approach.
I haven't heard it put exactly that way before, but that really makes a lot of sense. Now, going back to your season of caregiving, when you were also part of that time ill yourself, what advice would you have? Because so many, one reason I wanted to do this series was because I started seeing how many people's lives are touched by this disease. Either they have it, someone they love has it, someone their neighbor. But what advice would you have for someone who's caring for someone with this disease? We always know we feel helpless. And what might we be able to do that would help the most?
That is really good insight on your part. because I do look back at times and wonder what would I do differently than mm-hmm. I did at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I know that I did, I sat.
Mm.
I just sat there. I would be in the room. See, sometimes we put false expectations on ourselves as though we're the redeemer. We're the healer. We got to have all the answers. You know what? You don't have to have all the answers. You know what people need? They need somebody to sit there and shut their mouth. Huh?
Presence.
They need somebody to be there, be present, and not have all the answers. When you're hurting like that, you don't really need Job's friends who are bringing you all the reasons why. This was the hardest thing for me to deal with. Was I got surrounded by Job's friends who had all the reasons why I got cancer and why my wife died. That actually was the most difficult thing for me to deal with. So one of the things I think I did successful, I learned to just sit in the room with my wife and be present. Some of the most endearing memories I have is sitting on our front porch in two rocking chairs, not even talking, sipping green tea, and watching the sunrise, and saying nothing, simply being present.
I love that. And isn't that just like Jesus? What he mm-hmm. is that gift. He is that gift of presence. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Uh-huh. See, being present is a practice that we're not the best at. But it is true Christianity, is loving, walking in mercy, being present. Don't have to have all the answers, but helping take someone to the one who does.
And you're doing that right now. Thank you so much. Now, what about, let's say, and I imagine you have this happen to you. Let's say I walk up to you and I know your history, or at least I know something about it, and I say,
yep.
I've just gotten this diagnosis, and I'm scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
What will you tell me?
Well, that's a multifaceted issue.
Yes.
So one of the things I'm going to do is not just rely upon my own history,
okay.
because I have extensive history, and I know a lot of information.
Yes.
But what a person at that time needs is love. Perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment.
Amen.
And before they're going to be able to settle down, to be able to respond and not react, is that they have to have peace.
Yes.
The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So if someone approaches me, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to step back for a moment, not let their fear become a toxin for me to trigger something in me. And then I'm going to go, and I'm going to pray in the Spirit quietly, and I'm
yes.
going to ask God, how do you want me to respond to this person? Because everybody's needs are different, even though the diagnoses can be the same.
Yes.
And so I ask the Holy Spirit for a personal response, not a pat answer. Pat answers don't work.
No, and sometimes they hurt.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And what I've learned, and learning still, is to be present, but to be personal and try to give, see, perfect love casts out fear. So I'm going to try in the opposite spirit of fear. What is the opposite spirit of fear? Faith. The opposite spirit of fear is love, according to the Bible.
Wow.
And so I'm going to go, wow, I am so sorry to hear this, but I want you to know something. God is near. He hasn't forgotten you. He is right with you. And I want you to know that I know that God, because he has walked with me through the valley of the shadow of death. But I've come through on the other side, and I want you to know that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all days of your life.
Amen. What a word. Well, in line with that, and because you do have that that God-birthed sensitivity to His Spirit, would you be willing to take time right now to pray for our listeners? Thanks.
Absolutely. I speak over the listeners who might have cancer. I speak over those who are family members of someone who does. I speak over those who have friends. Because one-third of the American population sometime in their life today gets touched by this disease. I declare that cancer is the little C.
Amen.
I declare over each of you, Jesus Christ is larger, bigger. And I declare the love of God over you. I speak the kingdom of God of righteousness, peace, and joy. And now I shift. I rise above the circumstances, and I take you with me. And we come up higher in worship and in praise and in thanksgiving, and we thank the Lord not for everything, but in everything.
Amen.
And we thank you, God. We bless you that you are amazing. You're wonderful. And out of this position, we declare something good is just about to happen in your life and your family and in your sphere of influence. I declare something good is about to break through for you at this time and season of your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you again so much for sharing this truth with us today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Hope Through Cancer series on Charisma News. I'm Marty Pieper, and we hope you'll look for other shows in this faith-filled series.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.